only balance in my life is that I set minimum amount of time per day of what my priorities are.
This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook.
Any of you guys with a question, I'd love to start, and then we'll just roll.
How do you do it, honestly? Like, how do you stay so balanced and so humble at the same time?
So those are two completely different things, right? So humility is a practice. Understanding humility comes from the self-actualization of I need help. Right? It's not coming from I got to give everything I have. That's not healthy. It's not I got, you know, it comes from I need help. I'm connected to everything, you know, in everyone. And so if you truly can get to a humble space where I feel, you know, having children helps you. Any of you guys have children, right? You would much rather see a child achieve something or give them something than give it to yourself. But we're all in that same relationship. But it's so hard to extract fear from, like, I don't know you. Why would I help you? You know, like the same way I'd help my son. And so I think humility for me has been a practice of asking for help. And it's not just straight out saying, hey, can you help me? I call them series of questions now. I got really good at having a series of questions to figure out how I can provide value to you, but also learning to have and practicing these series of questions to explore, hey, do you know anyone that can help me? How can I extract the assets and resources and powers and skills and knowledge and desire that you have in order to effectuate what I want? That's humility. Because I'm allowing you all would feel really good if you were able to help me, the same way I feel super good being able to help other people. So humility is one thing. Now let's talk about balance, because that's probably the more common question that people want in their life. Balance is indicated not by 25%, 25%, 25%, 25%. Balance is not indicative of, you know, I have this unbelievable, you know, every single day family life, every single day I'm making shitloads of money, every single day I'm working out 5 hours, every single day I'm eating right. That's just not even close to realistic. So for me, I do a daily assessment of my own personal values, my own experiential values for the day, just the day, no more than the day, then my giving values and receiving values, and then I set by priority in my values so that, you know, I have standards that allow me to have an adaptable routine. Minimum of an hour a day with my family, minimum of 30 minutes with my wife, 30 minutes with my 9-year-old, 2 minutes with my 3 teenage daughters, 1 minute with my mom, and now I do 1 minute of push-ups and call one member of my family every day. That was just something happened at New Year's. Someone's like, what are you going to do for your New Year's resolution? Like, that's something I could use. And then from there, being a student of my calendar, minimum of 10 minutes a day. That's studying my calendar with a lens of accessibility, productivity, and gratitude. When I look at my day, I tell myself some days, you know what, this is my day. 90% of what I'm gonna do is gonna be for me, my personal values. There's no great experiences involved. It might be I'm gonna, you know, meditate, work out, study the Course in Miracles, write my own book. I'll still do the hour, you know, hour of health and the 30 minutes with my wife and all of that. The consistency of what's most important to me makes me feel as if I'm balanced. But it's not balanced. That day is a lot about Dave Meltzer, and there's other days, and some of you have seen them, and like 90% is about everybody else. But I set the objective in the management of the expectations before the day, and I use being a student in my calendar in order to activate, meaning raise my awareness or attention, and then put my intention through activity to create the coincidences I want. It's so much fun coming here for me, because a lot of people are now, like, they're living with me, you know, here. And so they can see how attention plus intention equals coincidences. You know, very fast, when you get rid of the interference and corrosion between what you're connected to already, things happen fast. So just little examples, I, you know, told Mike Allen, my COO, I'm like, I gotta meet Doug Flutie. He's at the party here, he's staying here. He's, you know, not many people I consider heroic, like for me, like a kid, that I get that juice for him anymore. And he's just one of those guys, right? He says he's 5'10", he's 5'7", and he's the greatest 5'7" quarterback I've ever seen. And I'm 5'7", so I appreciate, and he was a San Diego Charger, and like all these things. It was amazing. I go to work out this morning. I was done at 7:15, drenched. Who's sitting? Only person in the lobby here. There's Doug Flutie. Oh my God, you're out of the gym at 7:15? I can't believe that. Where are you from? I'm all California. He goes, yeah, me too. I go, I know. I go, I've manifested you being here, brother. I go, I just wish I wasn't so sweaty. I want a picture with you. I said, I don't know if you remember me. I go, you're one of the guys I don't get to talk to. We've met several times, and I'm sure you're like, who the hell is this? Or he looks familiar. And I told him who I was. You know, podcast scheduled. Then he's, when I'm coming, after I'm showered and dressed to go to the Philanthropy Awards, he's out front. We a whole team talking again, and then he's at the Philanthropy Awards, right? Same thing holds true as we had in Manifested. Justin said, who's the second person? You're like, how did that happen?
Coach Tyler.
Yeah, from Gary V's boy, Tyler. We were just talking, hey, he's like, how's that happen? I go, attention plus in. It's a practice every day. I only balance in my life is that I set minimum amount of time per day of what my priorities are. Health, family, work, or activity I get paid for. Productivity, accessibility, and gratitude. Those lenses. And I'm telling you, this, that student of your calendar, is if you believe in the formula of what you pay attention to and you give intention to, think, say, do, believe in the unconscious competencies that you have, if you believe that formula creates the coincidences, the coinciding in the universe of what you want, no better way to effectuate it than studying your calendar. But get out of the realm of this utopic balanced world, you know, because I lived in that world so long that I tried my best. I was so hyper competitive. I drove myself crazy going, I gotta be the best dad. I gotta be the best business person. I gotta be the best son. I gotta have balance in my life. How can I do that when my whole mathematic goal of being a multimillionaire was 16 hours twice as efficient, twice as statistically successful? That's still 16 hours. If you're spending 16 hours on activity that you get paid for, you're not gonna be balanced, not if you sleep. But what I learned was bending time. Oh. My teenage daughters don't want to talk to me. Most people use that as an excuse, but then they don't feel balanced because they don't spend time with their teenage daughters. I'm gonna give them 2 minutes a day. Right, I ask for five. They're like, you're actually gonna call us, text us, email every day? I'm like, yeah. Can you just do 2 minutes? This is literally the conversation I had. I'm like, all right. 2 minutes a day is worth more than 2 hours on a Saturday, but the continual connection and reminder and attention and intention creates this beautiful feeling of what you really want to be somehow aware of what you're doing for your personal experiential giving. You feel so much better when you consciously say, today's not about giving, right? Yep, today's about me. Today's about experiences. I'm gonna go to, you know, skydive. Today, you know, I'm gonna spend 8 hours to learn how to skydive, go skydiving. That's not a balanced life either. But in the end, if you take your personal values experiential, you're gonna be super happy and you're gonna die whenever that is, this journey. Which I wanna bring up one thing, so I had a deep conversation with Jake, I don't know where he went, but he was asking me like my philosophies and how they all occur. He's more religious, dogmatic religion. I'm not into dogmatic religion, support all dogmatic religions. That's why I'm not into one dogmatic religion, because I support them all. I don't wanna be separate. I don't even like within one religion how they can separate you into different religions within a religion. But he said, well, you know, what do you believe about living? I said, well, here's the interesting thing that I've learned, is that I know one thing, my heart's gonna stop sooner or later. Unless something happens technologically, most likely my heart's gonna stop. I would be paying taxes and my heart will stop. That's what I was born and learned. So if my heart's gonna stop and this period or journey is gonna stop when my heart stops, my brain can stop, I'll still be here. It's when your heart stops. There's no electricity. There's no current through you. So if that's going to happen, I have one choice. Do I get a do-over or not? I don't know what that looks like, right? The do-over. And so she asked me, what do I believe? I said, yeah, I get a do-over. I believe that I get multiple lifetimes. Maybe not in this embodiment, but I get multiple chances at this. And then he said, why? Does anybody know why I believe it? Matt does. Yeah, so the reason why is I said to myself, what are my choices? Number one, it doesn't. Number two, it does. To me, it's a simple choice. If I'm going to live my entire journey thinking, I would prefer to think that I get a do-over. it seems like a more positive thing for me, my personal experience. So I literally, nothing other than the fact that it seems like a more positive decision to believe I get a do-over. So then I base my entire existence on the fact that I get a do-over, which what allows me now to learn lessons, right? Because why learn lessons is if this is it? Why learn lessons? It makes, to me, like the choice is so easy. Now I can use this journey to learn as much as I want. And then I ask myself, well, does that, those lessons carry on to the next journey? Once again, I have a choice, no or yes. What's the more positive answer? Yeah, so I believe, yeah. I don't need Moses to tell me. I don't need Jesus to tell me. It's not that I don't believe in Moses or Jesus or what they represent or how they can inspire you or what. I don't care. For me, it's math. This seems like a better choice. So if I'm going to learn these lessons, now I have to play with time. And this is the whole blend of we live at this vibration. Money is the currency of this vibration in my value system, in my perception. I believe money doesn't buy love. Doesn't buy happiness, but it allows you to shop. And if you shop for the right things, you'll be happy. You shop for the wrong things, you won't be. And you can learn your lessons whichever way you want. But for me, money is this vibration. So I initiate most of my bigger decisions by an economic decision. Then I take time out of it. I say to myself, all right, would you buy that Volt if you knew time is infinity? Is that the purchase you would make? A Chevy Volt. If you knew time was infinity, would you make it? Once you extract time, you're out of an economic analysis. You're in a faith-based analysis. When I make decisions on faith, every time come up with a better decision than when I make it off of money. But I don't always make my decisions on faith because I'm too scared. A lot of times I'm like, God, if there's no time, you know, I wouldn't go to that party. Yeah, but then you wouldn't be able to finish and close that deal. And my son's having a rehearsal in San Diego, and you know, Friday I should be back at home, you know. But then I make that decision and say, okay, well, if there's no time, what would you do? I'm too afraid to lose the money. Yeah, I do. And it's so funny because every time I make a faith-based decision, it turns out better, and I still make money-based decisions. The key is, I blend as much as I can. There's somewhere in the blend of faith and money, and I mitigate risk and do that. What does that mean, mitigate risk? So take, for example, I made the biggest first faith-based decision I make beyond I was gonna be, you know, able to play football in college off of pure faith and you know, no money decision, like literally faith. The next one was to sell legal research online. So the full faith decision was, I don't need to be a real lawyer. I know that the internet's gonna be amazing. I know I'm gonna be great at this. I know I'm gonna make millions of dollars. But what did I do? I took the bar. Right, there's a blend there. Why'd you take the, if you knew, why would you take the bar? Yeah, because if it didn't work out, now I'm ready, I can go practice oil and gas law and make another decision. That's the blend, and it's okay to make. I just believe that the attention plus intention equals coincidences. The more aware or conscious of what we're doing, the less we'll have the interference, corrosion, and insecurity that creates a slowdown in the systematic way or flow that we live in, where everything's connected and helping everything.